Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Starting over in Vegas. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is the last day of January, January 31st, and we're talking about finding luck in Las Vegas, but it's not what you think. We're not finding luck in the casinos or slot machines. We're talking about internal migrants in the States who are moving to Las Vegas because Nevada has lower income tax, it has lower property tax, and so for some migrants, it's seen as a land of opportunity. But before we go on, I'd like to invite Simon back to the program.
Hello. It's good to be back.
Simon, it's great to have you. Have you been to Vegas? Las Vegas is so big in culture that now we've even dropped Las. We just say Vegas. Have you been to Vegas?
Yes. And let me say that yesterday, Rebecca, we were talking about our different experiences with the Vancouver Chinatown.
Yeah.
Yours was negative. Mine was very, very positive.
I was amazed when I heard that.
And I was, you know, I was kind of laughing at you for your negativity. But my experience in Vegas is very similar to your experience in the Vancouver Chinatown.
Really? Was that drug addict walk past you and screaming at you?
Let me say, I have never been to Vegas. Hmm. I'm saying Vegas here. The name is Las Vegas.
Yes, but a lot of times
I'm speaking very informally.
Yeah.
I've only ever been there, not as a destination, but on the way through.
Oh, so it's like a pit stop.
Yeah, heading down to Mexico or driving from somewhere else, you know, you sort of stop there. And the reputation is good meals that are low cost because they're supposed to draw you into the casinos.
Yes, the buffets. Famous for the buffets. And $20 for like unlimited food.
What I would say is you don't want to drive for 16 hours before you arrive in Las Vegas and then leave the next morning because you'll be like, oh, look, lights. The other thing that was my impression about Las Vegas was that once you get off the strip, the quality falls very quickly.
Oh, so you actually went off the strip.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I was like a student
on
a road trip in a car the last time I was there. So we were just looking for cheap.
Right.
And there is that, but it's also kind of sad in that.
So you did not enjoy an incredible buffet.
Well, if you're not lucky and you're not looking to spend big money and enjoy your trip in Las Vegas as a destination, you know, it's not probably the best sort of situation.
So, okay.
But
if
I mean, you know,
don't have too much money on you, don't go to Vegas.
Well, I don't even know if it's so much that as you just have to sort of know where you're going to go in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can sort of imagine tourists going to Vegas, the big rollers, if you will, spending big money, losing all their money, but being drawn back to casinos again and again and slowly moving from the expensive casinos to the cheaper casinos as they, like, lose their car, lose their house, whatever.
Right.
But then there's also going to be, like, the people who are profiting off Las Vegas, and they're living in suburbs with swimming pools and, you know, lawns and all kinds of wonderful things. So I think it just kind of depends what brings you to Las Vegas.
That's actually
what you see.
A really good point. What brings you to Las Vegas? My experience was quite different, actually.
Yeah,
we kind of flipped the script here. I went to Las Vegas for a trade show. I was working in the automotive industry, and one of the, you know, Las Vegas is really famous because they have the huge hotels, so they hold so many trade shows there every year. Because, like, the convention centers, and then these trade shows can get a good deal of the hotel. So we stayed in Las Vegas for an automotive show called SEMA, S-E-M-A. And then we were there, and it was, of course, it was incredible. The convention was huge. And then at night, I had the nice buffet. So it was like the hotel casino buffet for like $25. I mean, that was back around 2003, 2004. I think it's 2004. And it was like really, really good food for cheap. I mean, mean, well, yeah. cheap because of the quality. Because really,
you had an expense account.
Well, that's why. I mean, yeah, there, it was a trade show, business. Right? You're yeah. there on there for work.
If you were a student yes. looking for a $7 meal.
Right, right. You know, no, our CEO yeah. treated us after we worked really hard, you know, all day at the trade show. He treated us to a nice buffet. So you're right. You do need to have some money to be able to enjoy. And at the time, we were on the Strip. We didn't stay in the Strip. We, like you said, like if you leave the Strip, it becomes very unglamorous. We went to a cheaper hotel, not on the Strip. So that was just a really average, like a two, three-star hotel. But we spent all day on the Strip, and the Strip is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you see in the movies. Like, I mean, when we hear of Las Vegas, we think of the Strip. All this mega, like the Wynn, like all the famous, like Caesar's Palace, like all the famous hotels, you know. And that was Las Vegas.
We're noticing a pattern here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Vancouver.
Right.
Where there's basically two Chinatowns.
Yes.
Though one of them isn't really Chinatown. It's just a whole area of a city
right.
that has a lot of Asian people living in it.
Yes.
Right? We've also seen mentioned that of that yesterday, where we've talked about kind of Chinatowns in California,
yes.
how there's sort of like a history there, sometimes kind of a darker history,
right.
you know, because of racism and things like that. But, you know, they've been built up and they're in varying states of repair.
Yes.
Depending on how big a cultural icon they are. But then we talked about the San Gabriel Valley.
Yes, and
which
that's
is,
what
again,
we're going to be talking about
like
today.
This suburb.
Yeah.
Well, and so you see the same thing, I think, in Las Vegas, where yesterday we mentioned like sort of the traditional Chinatown,
yeah.
where we use that phrase prevailing wisdom, which means sort of everybody knows that if you want a good meal,
yeah,
you head
that's
to
where
that Chinatown off the Strip.
Right.
But then there's other areas now where Chinese Americans and other Asians
yes.
are settling and congregating and doing their grocery shopping.
Yes. And this yeah. is the new Las Vegas. So let's get into our first reading for today. We're going to be talking about kind of like the new Las Vegas Chinatown and just a little bit more about the people moving there and also some of the problems the new Chinatown has caused.
Southern California entrepreneur James Chen built Chinatown Plaza, Las Vegas's first large Asian strip mall, with two partners in 1995. Chen and his partners saw opportunity in the scores of Southern California Asian families and tourists who regularly visited Las Vegas, said Vita Lin, president of the Asian Community Development Council. Lin, who came to Las Vegas from San Francisco, said a lot of Chinese investors wanted to try their ideas in a place with lower taxes. It's long been a Southern California tradition for Chinese families with no appetite for turkey or eggnog to spend the holidays in Las Vegas. San Gabriel Valley travel agencies send a regular stream of Chinese tourists to Las Vegas. Though most of the population arrived recently, Asian Americans have been part of Las Vegas for a long time, Lin said. Chinese and Filipino workers built the railroads that made Las Vegas possible. Filipino designer Rudy Crisotomo created the famous neon marquees at the Sands, the Dunes, Circus Circus, Luxor, and Rio. Chinese entrepreneurs popularized games such as Keno and Pai Gao. In the 1940s, Asian Americans opened nightclubs to capture the business of black people turned away from the Strip.
Simon, let's talk about the new Chinatown Las Vegas. So we have this Southern Californian entrepreneur, James Chen. We're talking off air. You know, like at least 16 James Chen.
Yeah, it's a very common English name for
yes. Because Chen, you know, is really
Chinese
popular
people.
Surname,
there's a lot
right?
of Chen's,
for Chinese
right.
surnames, like Chen,
it's
is
like
extremely
Wong,
popular.
You know,
Chen and Wong.
There's a lot of Wongs.
And we have a lot of yeah. James. So we have a James Chen. And he built Chinatown Plaza. So this is Las Vegas' first large Asian strip mall. And then, like yesterday, we talked about the Las Vegas Strip. But let's explain a little bit, what is a strip mall? We don't find them here.
You know, I actually thought they'd be gone by now, but they seem to be going through a bit of a rebirth. It's kind of a shopping experience you have in North America where
right.
it's like they kind of imagine a three-sided Fujianese-style farmhouse, the Sanhuyuan. where you have like three sides of building around a courtyard.
Okay.
Imagine that, but blown up into a shopping area.
So these are all stores. The three sides are all made up of stores.
There's like usually independent stores. There's a big parking lot in the middle, so you don't have to park along the road. And then there's stores on three sides around it. But it's all outdoor access.
Yes.
Like it's not, outdoor. You're not going from room to room or store to store like you would in a shopping mall.
So it's not a mall.
No.
It's not really a mall because usually we think of a mall, we think of one building, right?
Yeah.
So one building
Well, this might be one building, but you enter each store from the outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a strip mall. We have those in Canada too.
That's
we have a
strip mall.
Yeah. And usually in our, like for example, like every neighborhood or pretty much like every bigger neighborhood will have some kind of strip mall. It's just the size, whether it's a very big strip mall or a smaller strip mall.
Yeah, that's right. And there's, I mean, this creates what we might call in English a chicken and an egg problem, actually mentioning this strip mall. The chicken and the egg problem comes from this English question, which came first, the chicken or the egg, right?
Okay, because so how is a strip mall?
All chickens come from eggs and eggs lay chickens, so where did the first chicken come from?
So what's a strip mall?
The question here is,
problem?
Yeah, like, do you build a strip mall and then a Chinatown grows around it? Or do you have a Chinese community and then you build a strip mall in the middle to serve their needs? And it's not clear from this article which of those that was. So we know there's like large numbers of Asian Americans sort of moving to Las Vegas.
Yes.
We know there's this California entrepreneur, one of the many James Chens in America.
Yes.
And this James, you know, he saw this opportunity, so he decides to build the Chinatown Plaza, which is an Asian strip mall. Now, what makes it an Asian strip mall? Well, when you have any mall, you're going to have like bigger stores and smaller stores.
Yes.
And so in a strip mall, one of the bigger stores would probably be something like a supermarket or a bank, things like that. So if you want it to be an Asian mall, you're probably going to have like an Asian foods grocery store.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
That's a must. Like in Vancouver, we in Canada, Western Canada, we have TNT.
Yeah.
In Chinese, it's Da Tong Hua. And in LA, they have Da Hua supermarket. And that's central, the supermarket. Yeah.
So I don't know, like if there was a bank, what I'm imagining in my head, this, people are going to write in and be like, you're totally wrong. But I'm imagining like an HSBC bank.
Because we're Canadians. In Canada, we have a lot of HSBCs.
Well, especially if there's a Chinese community, there's generally an HSBC.
Yes.
So,
you
know, I'm imagining that. I'm imagining, you know, Chen and Partners Law Firm has an office in there. I'm imagining things like that.
Yes.
So basically, stores owned by Asian Americans aimed at Asian American needs.
Yes, you will definitely also have like a bubble tea shop for sure.
That's right.
And probably a Chinese travel agency. Often we have these travel agency, and I love going to the Chinese-owned travel agencies.
Yeah.
Now, I want to reiterate something that maybe we didn't make clear. When we're talking about the word Chinese yesterday and today, it's all about ethnicity.
That
your ancestors came from China.
Yeah.
So that's, when we're talking about Chinese, we're not talking about nationality.
Yeah.
Throughout this article, we're talking about ethnicity.
Well, as an outsider, my sense in Vancouver was that community is a very divided community because there was a lot of...
We will not get into that. Like, that's another lesson.
Well, but we were talking yesterday about how Asian American is sort of like an artificially constructed group. You know what I mean?
All
for
these
the census,
terms are human created. Yeah. They are not natural terms. Like, especially we're talking about from the word Asian American, that's the term we grew up with. Now we have these really strange politically correct words like AAPI, Asian American and Pacific Islander, the Americans use. We don't use that term in Canada because, first of all, Canada, we don't have Pacific Islanders. We don't have Hawaii. Well, not.
I mean, there must be some. It's a big country, you know.
But probably we have like 100 people from Hawaii in Canada.
Yeah, not
like
a large enough population for us to be like anything, but oh, that's interesting.
That's right. I have not yet met them yet. There's no Knife Island in Canada, but let's continue.
Well, so anyway, James here, you know, he builds this Chinatown Plaza because he's aware that there's large numbers of tourists coming from California to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And at the same time, there's also this sort of community development council that is, I assume, looking to attract investors from among these visitors to develop the community. And so this was, what I assume here, it doesn't say this, but what I assume is the Chinatown Plaza sort of became a hub, like a building block that the community could expand out from.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, Simon, in that way, yeah. I almost think you're talking about the chicken egg problem. I think probably that this Chinatown Plaza, they built it first.
Yeah.
And then perhaps the ethnic Chinese Americans, they started to move in.
Well, they give us, they give us in the next paragraph, like actually a really interesting insight into Chinese American culture.
Okay.
Because this will not be familiar to people who are ethnically Chinese from other parts of the world.
Well, I didn't know this either. I mean, this is an interesting fact. I had no idea that Southern Californian Chinese families that, like, they don't really
celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving.
They're just celebrating it by going to Vegas.
We celebrate Chinese New Year.
Right.
Here, right? It's not really a family time because none of your family's here.
Right.
It's not really, you know what I mean? But it is a holiday.
So they just go to Vegas. I had no idea.
So they go to Vegas, yeah.
I had no idea. So basically, this was already happening, right? For major holidays, there's a lot of American-born Chinese families or other Asians, they're just coming to Las Vegas. So we talked yesterday about San Gabriel Valley, and that is just a huge valley outside of L.A. It's in L.A. County. It has a very, very high proportion of Asians. I looked it up.
Especially Chinese.
59% of the people living in San Gabriel Valley are Asian Americans, and many of them are Chinese. 26% Hispanic, and the whites, maybe about 10%. So these are, San Gabriel Valley includes cities like Pasadena.
The whites.
Arcadia, Caucasian's a correct term, but
no, our listeners need a little context here. Rebecca and I are both Canadian, so we basically never use the American terminology for,
exactly.
Like we would literally say like English Canadians or French Canadians.
We don't use white.
Divide based on either family history, but language is a big divider in Canada, French or English.
Yes.
Like English Canadians are not ethnically English.
Yes.
They're just speaking English.
English, yes. And you never tell a Scottish person they're English Canadian.
Yeah.
That would really get them angry. That would really piss them off.
The use of your American categorization.
Well, we've worked with an American boss for many years. Well, let's continue.
True.
So, and then it's not just the Chinese Americans coming, right? But there is history here. I mean, there is history in the next paragraph. Let's talk about, even though these are new migrants from California coming to Nevada, Asian Americans have always been part of Las Vegas, right? And of course, we like the ones we know of on the history, that really sad history is the Chinese and Filipino workers that built the railroads, right?
Yeah.
They also built railroads in Canada, right?
Yes.
Yep, the Chinese,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really horrible conditions.
They were sort of imported as migrant laborers.
Yeah, cheap labor. I mean,
but it was like dangerous.
Very
dangerous.
A lot of people died building the. This would be the 1800s.
Yeah.
Would this be the late 1800s? I think.
Mid to late.
Yeah. So a lot of the railroads in both the U.S. and Canada were built by Chinese migrants. They were treated very poorly. So
I mean, among others, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but they were a big part of the labor force.
Well, if there's one thing true of North America, it's that all are welcome and all will be abused equally until they move up the social hierarchy, you know?
Simon, this is such a good point. We need to write some articles on this because the migrant experience is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And then let's continue. So for a long time, like Nevada had Chinese people. They had Filipino people. And they contributed.
People of note. Like they mentioned this person, Rudy Cristomo, who is a Filipino-American, but is a designer who actually has played a large role in developing the Strip. Like they say, he developed the neon marquees. Marquees are basically big signs that advertise.
Yeah.
So he's developed, you know, sort of the style of sign that represents, and then they list all these big casinos, the Sands, the Dunes, Circus, Luxor, and Rio. So they also say that Chinese entrepreneurs popularized these games. Keno, did she say? I would have said Keno, but
yeah,
I think
I would say
Linda
Keno
said
too.
Keno.
Yeah.
Keno is like actually, probably our listeners are more familiar with it than I am. It's basically a lottery game where you pick numbers.
Okay.
And then numbers are randomly selected. And if you match a certain number of the numbers, you kind of win.
Okay. So these are all popular games in the casinos.
Yeah. The other one there is, what did they call it? Paigao, which apparently is like a tile game, not like Mahjong, but similar. There's a version they play in casinos called Paigao Poker.
Okay, I didn't
which
know
uses
that.
A poker deck. And yeah, so they're basically like games that would be more familiar to those Chinese tourists or Chinese American tourists who are coming to Las Vegas to escape Thanksgiving and Christmas, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there's been an influence on the area and the development of the area. They mentioned in the 1940s, Asian Americans who have a reputation in North America for being very entrepreneurial, especially in terms of small businesses. They obviously saw an opportunity and they opened nightclubs and I assume other services basically for black people who were not being allowed admission to the main casinos on the Strip, basically because of racial discrimination at the time. So
the Chinese have always been a part of the Las Vegas demographics, the Las Vegas landscape, but now we're just getting a lot more of them.
Long history.
Let's get into our last reading. We're going to be talking about some of the challenges with this influx of domestic migrants from California.
A hopeful outlook. Las Vegas's Asian neighborhoods have the relentless energy that I felt in the San Gabriel Valley 10 years ago. The economic vibrancy is familiar, but so are the problems that arise when any area sees a sudden uptick in its immigrant community. Disputes over the cultural offerings of grocery stores, debates about mandating English language on public signs. There's some friction, said Jim Fong, a real estate agent and investor in Las Vegas. But overall, he's hopeful that Las Vegas will be different, especially for his children, who are mixed race. It's a newer city. It's pretty open-minded. That's actually what I like about it, Fong said. Stakeholders in the city's Chinatowns are even talking about adopting a new name that better reflects a diverse AAPI population. Something like Asia Town or the International District. It's an important conversation to have, Lin said.
Let's talk about these new neighborhoods, Simon. We talked about that new Chinatown Plaza, that new strip mall, and now we're talking about the new Asian neighborhoods that have grown up in Las Vegas in recent years.
Well, presumably around places like that Chinatown Plaza.
Yeah, we're assuming it's around places like Chinatown Plaza. And here the author describes it as having a relentless energy.
Mm-hmm.
So relentless just means like a continued, it never stops. There's just always go, 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 go. This go, 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 go energy like he felt in San Gabriel Valley 10 years ago.
And So they draw a comparison to that area. I mean, I don't know very much about the San Gabriel Valley. Like, again,
right.
I asked teacher Garrett
from
Let's
because
Talk.
He lived in California.
Because he's from California.
Yes.
Yeah. So I asked him, and he sort of said, yes, it was an area that had sort of expanded with first and now second and maybe third generation Asian immigrants.
Yes.
But particularly Chinese.
Yes.
So it's an area where, within living memory, they've sort of developed it and built it into what it is, like sort of a thriving, prosperous.
Yes, thriving and
I mean,
wealthy,
you get that with the relentless energy. You might also say like a vibrant sort of feel. They actually say that in the next sentence, right? The economic vibrancy is familiar.
Yes.
But so are the problems that arise when an area sees an uptick. Which just means an increase.
Yes.
Like think
a
here
big
about,
increase.
Think about a gauge, that ticks up and down, tick, 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 to show different readings. And if it increases, then it ticks up, upticks.
Yeah, so anytime you have a large immigrant numbers pouring into a country, it can cause significant problems, right? Like we saw that in Europe.
Yeah.
Like with like a significant number of like North Africans and people from Syria after Syria's civil war. And recently the Ukrainians. In the past 2-3 years, like 7 million Ukrainians are in Europe.
Well,
in Europe outside of Ukraine.
And the experience we have had in Vancouver.
Yes.
With the Chinese community is probably similar because there are Chinese families that have been in Vancouver for a long time, but they're a very small community.
Right.
And then there's a much larger group of Hong Kong Chinese who immigrated
yes.
when Hong Kong was returning to China.
Yes, that was in 1990.
There's also like a Taiwanese Canadian community there, which is relatively smaller, but I think was probably because of the history used to acting as representatives of China until the more recent wave of people from mainland China.
Yeah. And the wave is, there's just a large number. And I think anytime you have a increase, like here we use the word uptick, but I don't even know uptick is the best number. It's more like a drastic skyrocketing number.
But there's tensions migrants. There because even though we're using these terms like Chinese, there's actually like many different groups and subgroups and things like that that are maybe not in agreement on everything.
Yes, it's not harmonious.
Well, the example they give here is the cultural offerings in grocery stores.
Right.
Like which brand of soy sauce, you know?
And what kind of soy sauce?
Well,
I
don't know.
Do we want Chinese soy sauce or Japanese soy sauce or Korean soy sauce?
Well,
the next one, I think people here might not understand, debates about mandating English language on public signs.
Yeah.
That's always a debate in Canada, right? In the past about French. Because we're a bilingual country.
French, yeah.
And then the Canadian government says that basically all our signs, everything has to be English and French.
Well, government signs have to be
government
French and English.
Signs,
but in Quebec, they have rules basically trying to remove English from signage so that signs are French.
Yes.
French only or
French
the
only.
English has to be very small writing.
Yeah.
The French
so
has to be very
in North
big,
America,
like
the debate of whether to put English or a second language is often a huge, huge public debate. And then last, let's cover quickly, there's some friction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we have friction, it's like discomfort, disagreement, just kind of bad feelings. There's some friction between all these different Asian American communities
mm-hmm.
who have moved in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so his hope is that because they're building it, you know, there's a historical element to it, but largely they're building a new Asian community. So his hope is that it will be more open-minded and less prone to the problems of older communities. It mentions here that his children are mixed race, and so they navigate in different cultures, presumably.
Yes,
yeah.
that's also another interesting discussion, got to say, for another day, right?
Yeah.
Like, Simon, we all have, like, both of us are kind of, we also touch on the categories of mixed race, right? Like, I'm a product of a mixed race marriage, and you are in a mixed race marriage. So mixed race kids do seem to navigate between different ethnicities pretty well, because we have to by nature. But this is a really interesting article, friends. Next time you go to Las Vegas, maybe you can go check out the Chinatown Plaza or maybe go to the old Chinatown, see if what this article is saying is true. We hope that you learned some interesting facts and kind of thoughts through these 2 days. And I hope you'll come back to Advanced in February because tomorrow is February. And I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Simon.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.